from America's frontier, Nebraska. It's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. I've got a guest this morning that has created a product that just kind of fits right now with all the COVID-19 stuff where you need to sit at home and take it easy and maybe read a good book. Andrew Weiner is my guest this morning. He's an author, publisher, fly fisherman. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, Rick. How are you doing?
Excellent. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, you did.
Good. I try to be cautious about doing that and getting everybody's name pronounced correctly. First, I should point out to people that we're definitely practicing social distancing this morning. I'm sitting here in North Platte, and you're out in somewhere around Oakland, California, somewhere.
That's correct. And you know, before we start, I just also wanted to say to anybody who happens to be listening that I hope everybody is safe and healthy and taking care of themselves. It's an awfully challenging time.
Very well said. I want to thank you for sending me a copy of your book to preview. I was very pleasantly surprised when I opened the box.
Sorry. I was very fortunate that an extremely talented illustrator agreed to do the book. As I tell people, I can always brag about it because I didn't do it. I think she did a fantastic job, and her name is April Chu. She's just, I think, extraordinarily talented.
It is very well illustrated. The colors are great. The way they're the way it matches the story and how it's drawn is very, very good.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story about that, actually.
Okay.
I had to wait a year for her to be able to illustrate the book. She was working on another project, and I was saving pages from fly fishing magazines to give her an example of what that world looks like and what people fly fishing look like. And I had taken a version of the story and written some ideas for what her illustration should be. I sent it to her and I sent it to the editor, and the editor wrote back to me and said, just don't do that. Let her make her decisions about how she wants to do the illustrations. And the great thing was that virtually every piece of art that she did really mirrored what my vision for the illustration would be. There's a spread in the book where there's an osprey flying above the family, and that's really the only picture that's different, because my idea was that it would be from the people's perspective looking up at the bird, and she did it from the bird's perspective, and it's better than I had imagined. And it's just one of the great spreads in the book.
I'm actually looking at that page right now. It's very good. I have a son who is an artist and illustrator, and when I have a story that I am going to publish somewhere, I will send the story to him. I have a preconceived idea in my head what the drawing should look like, but I generally don't make many suggestions on it, and he's pretty good about coming back with just about what I had in mind. On Mrs. Chu's work, inside the front and back covers of your book is just a tremendous layout of all kind of different flies that are used, probably in the neighborhood of 50 all total.
Actually, it's almost 80.
Almost 80, okay. did she draw those too?
She did, and
my goodness.
The idea for having flies on the end papers came from my editor, and I thought it was a fantastic idea, and I went to my local fly shop. I'm fortunate enough to have one that's within a 10-minute walk, and I bought 24 flies for her that I thought were sort of seminal flies, the kind of flies that everybody should have in their
right.
fly box, and I gave them to her, and she started illustrating them. And then a couple of months later, she posted a video of herself on Instagram holding up a fly and saying, "Flies are so amazing." And she just got captivated by them. And she went out and got, you know, a bunch more, several dozen more. And as I said, there are nearly 80 unique flies. And I know that for kids and their parents who sit down down with the book. It's one of the favorite parts of the book. Parents ask their kids which are their favorite flies, and quite often they'll tie them together with them. And I've seen some videos of kids with that part of the book, and it's really gratifying, really fun to see them enjoying it that way.
That is very cool. I like that. Looking through these, you know, first thing I did is I tried to spot the flies that I have in my fly case, and then just looked at some of the others. And like you said, flies are so unique and so colorful and so pretty. I have a couple big streamers that people have tied for me, and they're never going to go in the water. They're actually framed on the wall.
Yep. I actually have one. There's an artist, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, named Russell Chatham, who is a great Montana artist and writer, who's kind of a hero of mine. And I came into possession of a streamer that he tied. And as you said, I will never let that fly touch the water. It's a really cherished possession.
Yeah. What prompted you to create a book like this?
You know, I've worked in publishing pretty much since I was in high school, when I started working in the public library. And I'm from a family of book lovers. And it occurred to me at a certain point, with the way that I feel about children's books, which is I really love children's books, that I might be able to write a story myself, and decided to write something that was about the thing that I'm most passionate, which is fly fishing. It's my favorite, not even just recreational activity, probably my favorite activity of all. And I sat down and gave it a shot. And that was more than 15 years ago when I first sat down to try and write the story.
Very good. I know what you mean about fly fishing and being a favorite activity. I refer to it a lot as my mental decompression exercise.
It's a lot cheaper than a therapist.
Exactly.
Yep.
And if you get out there on the water and you're working on your cast, very few things can infiltrate that zone that you're in to get that cast out there and drop that perfect fly on the water.
Exactly. And, you know, chances are you're going to be in a really beautiful place while you're doing it as well. So even if you're not catching fish, you're surrounded by incredible nature, and you're standing in a river, hopefully, and just bathing in the glory of nature.
Yes, yes. We actually have fly fishing in Nebraska, and I do a lot of fly fishing. Might not have quite the scenery some else places. Up on the North Platte River and some spots on the South Platte are really good. But some of my warm water fishing are on what we refer to as interstate lakes. They
sure.
were borrow pits that were dug, and then due to our groundwater level, they just fill up with water and make natural fisheries. But you're standing there casting, and 50 yards behind you, you got semi trucks going by. That might not be the best
I've
one.
I've been in situations like that.
But
it's interesting. Carp have become a species that's targeted by fly anglers.
Absolutely.
And people are just loving catching these big, big carp.
And they fight.
Exactly.
I've actually ran a contest some years back with one of my columns. We were going to bring up the status of carp amongst sports fishermen. We were going to rename them, and the contest was, give me your best name.
Yeah.
So, and I had suggested something like Lipsauger.
Lipsauger.
But the guy that won it, his suggestion was Diamondback Grass Trout. And if you walk in somewhere and mention that you're fishing for Diamondback Grass Trout, it's like the old Larry Darrell and Darrell things, where everybody stops and looks at you. But it is great. And what have you used for carp fishing for your presentation, your fly? What have you done?
I actually have not fished for carp yet.
Well, so come on out.
Well, I would love to do that. You know, I've never been to Nebraska. I've been to a lot of Midwest states, central U.S. states, but not Nebraska yet. And I've read quite a bit about it, and it's on my list. I definitely want to get there.
Any terrestrial, small terrestrial would do, but I've actually... carp love to suck the cotton that falls on the water from cottonwood trees at that right time of year. So I have a little, you know, gold Aberdeen hook wrapped with polyester fiber fill that looks like the seed head and the cotton. And people look at me like I'm nuts, but it works.
I saw a video recently on Instagram of one of the great women anglers who are out there these days, and she was fishing for carp, and they were feeding on some fruit that was dropping from a tree.
And mulberries, so probably.
She just found something close to that in her fly box and had some great success with it. It's pretty fun to watch.
One last comment on fly fishing, and we got to get back to your book. But here, you know, the Platte Rivers are broad, shallow rivers, and I refer to carp as Platte River bonefish. And that's the way they hit and run. Anyway, I think you mentioned, you said this idea for your book had rolled around in your head about 15 years?
That's correct. You know, when I first wrote the short manuscript, which was, when you write a picture book, it's basically 3 pages long, I sent it out to some fellow fly anglers for some constructive criticism and commentary and got some great feedback. I incorporated a lot of their ideas into the book. And then I actually managed to get a literary agent who had no luck selling the book. And then I got another literary agent, and she also had no luck selling the book. And, you know, years went by, and I rewrote it. And then I worked for a publisher, and I shared it with one of the editors, and he wasn't sure that he could publish a book that was written by somebody who worked for the company. He found out that he could, but he decided that he didn't want to. But there was another editor who read the story, and she wanted to work with me on it because her family fished, and she saw something in the story that really spoke to her, and she worked with me on and off for about a year and a half and made lots of great suggestions, which I incorporated again into the story. And finally, back in probably 2016, she sent me a note and said, okay, we're ready to go. We're gonna publish this book. And then it took another couple of years before the book appeared in print. So it's a long process.
How long has it actually been out and available for the public to grab and read?
Mm-hmm. Came out in March of 2018.
Okay. And
a couple of years.
How have the sales been?
The sales have been really nice.
Excellent.
I work in publishing, so I have some perspective on what a good sale is, and I'm really satisfied with how it's done. It was carried by Costco for a period of time and Sam's Clubs as well, which is not typical for a picture book. Of course, it's been in bookstores. A number of fly shops have carried it, and, of course, Amazon. They've sold several thousand copies. So,
very good. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We need to take a quick commercial break, but when we're done, Andrew, I want to talk a few more questions about your book, and then, of course, we got to let people know where to get them.
Okay.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this message.
New York City, now the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. With the city's economy shut down, thousands of people infected, a makeshift hospital in Central Park, and millions of people scared to leave their homes, you'd think the New York Times would put partisan politics aside, at least temporarily, and you would be wrong. Here's the headline the editorial board ran on Tuesday. Coronavirus doesn't care where you come from, Trump still does. Say what? See, the biggest problem right now, according to the Times, is that illegal immigrants are afraid that going to public health facilities might make it easier for ICE to track them down. And those hoping for a green card are worried that if they need government help, it might hurt their chances. Now, these people, according to the New York Times, are more at the mercy of the pandemic than anybody else. Trump and his evil ICE agents are bigots. They're horrible people because they won't declare health facilities enforcement-free zones. Now, in the fevered imaginations of the New York Times editors, it's as if Donald Trump and ICE are hanging around New York City emergency rooms demanding coronavirus-infected people prove that they are here legally before they can get medical help. These people are deranged. You know, one day, this virus is going to be gone, but liberals will still be Trump deranged. That's something, I guess, that's not curable.
electronics require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Westfield Pharmacy is making your life easier. Refill your prescriptions online at westfieldpharmacy.com or use the convenient Westfield Pharmacy mobile app on your smartphone. Westfield Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy, caring for you and about you.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Plenty of sunshine for today. Highs top out near 42 degrees. Winds north-northwesterly 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Lows drop to 18. Winds turn to the east-southeast around 5 miles per hour. Then Saturday, mostly sunny with highs approaching 51. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Right now, more than 125,000 children are waiting to be adopted from foster care. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption works around the clock to find them the permanent, loving homes they deserve. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Anthony Weiner this morning, and we're talking about a book that he has published called Down by the River. It's all about fly fishing, but done in like a kid's book perspective. Is that a fair assessment of the book, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is primarily for kids, so I know that a lot of adults have really appreciated it a lot. One of the quotes that I got from the book was from the legendary John Guyrock, one of the best fly fishing writers out there, who expressed how much kids would enjoy it, but that he felt like there was a lot in the book for adults as well. That was probably the most exciting quote that I got for the book.
And that's if you're a fly fisherman and know that name, that's a pretty high compliment.
Yeah, and I got to meet him at one of the stops of the fly fishing show out in Denver. This was last year. And went up and introduced myself and thanked him for the wonderful endorsement. And in his sort of typically cantankerous way, he said, you know, if I hadn't liked it, I wouldn't have given you the quote.
Yeah.
So that was pretty great.
The only other name I can think of off the top of my head that would rival that would be Lefty Cray.
Absolutely.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. When you set out to do this, what did you actually hope to accomplish with the book?
Well, as somebody who loves books and who has seen what reading a book or having a book read to you as a kid can do and can mean, I just really hoped it was a story that children would really enjoy and would be engaged by, and that it would inspire them and their families to both get outdoors and be in nature and to participate in a really great sport, either as an individual or as a family. I think, you know, it's like a cliche, the family that fishes together stays together. I think it's really true, and it's a great activity for a family to do together.
Like you said, it may be a cliche, but I wholeheartedly believe in that. If you're doing it together as a family, you know, fishing is great regardless of what the activity is. It's the togetherness and camaraderie that builds out of that is pretty good. It can't be beat.
Yep.
We've talked a little bit about your Miss Chu that did the illustrations for you. I love the play. There's one picture where it looks like the grandpa is standing by the vehicle and mom and the kid are coming out. And the license plate, fish on.
Exactly. That was a nice little surprise when I saw that. That was April's idea. She put some fun little things in.
How did you yourself get involved in fly fishing?
You know, I started fishing, just general conventional, I guess you call it, fishing, when I was about 6 years old with my family, and fished over the years. And I was on a trip with my then wife to the Eastern Sierras, and her mother's boyfriend loaned me his fishing rod and some flies and a bubble, the kind of bubble you would use to float an earthworm. And we were fishing in some small streams, and it was just really exciting, really fun. I was catching fish. And I actually took that rod and those flies to a sales conference in Vermont. And one of my coworkers and I went out and fished at our free afternoon. And he said to me, you know, that's not really fly fishing. And what you need to do is get yourself a fly rod and a fly reel, and I'll meet you in Montana, and I'll take you fly fishing. And I did that, and we went to Missoula, Montana, and went fishing in Rock Creek, which is one of the great blue ribbon trout streams in the country. And that was it. You know, I was a fly fisherman from then on.
That's a great introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. And Missoula is a great town, so we had a great time even when we weren't fishing. And I have gone back there probably half a dozen times to have vacations and to fish, and it's a special place.
I'm sort of like you in the realm. It sounds like you're mostly self-taught on fly fishing, and I did that. I started when I was a teenager because I had seen it on the outdoor shows, and nobody ever did it in South Texas. So I learned to fish kind of on my own, and then both salt and freshwater fishing, and loved it ever since. And even today, there's some of the lakes we have around here. Panfish are a great thing, you know, rock bass, things like that. It's a riot. And it really doesn't matter to me how big the fish is. It's still fun just to catch.
I agree. Absolutely.
We've got on the North Platte River, not too far from where I'm sitting right now, we've got some great rainbow trout fishing and now tiger trout in the stream.
Oh, yeah, so I like tiger trout.
They're good fighters.
Yeah. I took a great trip to Utah a few years ago and was introduced to tiger trout, and they're beautiful fish and fun to catch.
Exactly. You mentioned a couple places that the book is. Where can people find it, or where would you recommend they go to look for it?
You know, these days, in our peculiar circumstances that we're currently in, a lot of bookstores are closed.
Unfortunately,
For foot traffic. But they're actually hoping that people will get in touch online or by phone, because they can actually supply books, they can ship them, or in some instances do service at the door of the store. So any bookstore in the country can get the book for you. Just tell them the name of the book and they can order it and have it on hand for you within a few days. Amazon, of course, is sort of the standby for a lot of people, and they do have it in stock right now and continue to stock the book. And if you do a search for Down by the River with author Andrew Weiner, W-E-I-N-E-R, you should be able to find it pretty easily. And there are a number of fly shops who have carried the book as well and sold it really well. And they're in the same circumstance as the bookstores, where their doors are closed, but they're hoping that they're going to be able to maintain some customers and send some products out to people, and they can get the book from distributors as well if they don't have it on hand right now. Support those small businesses. They really, really need the help right now.
Very much so. I had had a passing thought when I was looking through the book about this should be in a fly shop, and it seems to be a natural fit, so I'm glad others have stumbled onto the same idea and done something with it.
There's actually a company called Angler's Book Supply, and his primary business is supplying books to fly shops. And he was kind enough to nominate my book for an award from the Fly Fishing Trade Association, and it won the award for Best New Entertainment and Education Product of 2018.
Very good.
So that's a great, great honor.
What does the book retail for?
It's $17.99. Of course, it's discounted on Amazon, a little bit lower than that, but $17.99 is the suggested retail.
Very reasonable, and especially because of the quality of the book and what you're going to get. In kind of book vernacular, if you call it like this, I would call this almost like a coffee table book.
Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you.
You want people to see it. You want people to notice it. And I don't think you can help but pick it up and start leafing through it.
Thank you. Actually, there's a sort of a hidden treat with the book. The book comes with the dust jacket, as most picture books do.
Right.
But if you take off the dust jacket, there is a great cover of the book, which is that beautiful brown trout
right.
that the kid catches. And it's something people don't always notice, so I like to call attention to it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I hadn't noticed it until I opened the dust cover right now as we were talking, because I haven't gotten beyond the rest of the cover. It was so great. Like I said, the front with the family sitting there and the fish in the water. And I like the way she drew it, too. It's like a split surface above and below the water.
Exactly.
And then when you get to the back and you open it up, there's that osprey sitting on the limb.
Exactly. That was a really important part of the story to me. And I actually did a reading at a bookstore up in Napa. And we went outside. We had blankets. And I did a reading, and I had fly tackle. And the Napa River was 30 feet away. And as I began reading the story, an osprey flew overhead and landed in a nearby tree. And to me, that
How
was
cool
like,
is that?
The greatest moment.
Really fun. Ospreys are one of my favorite birds. Just
me too.
They fly so gracefully, but the way they hunt and dive for the fish is just it's fun to watch.
I'm a big fan of raptors in general. And there's hardly anything that gives me more pleasure than seeing a bald eagle or an osprey or some kind of hawk flying overhead and maybe plunging down into the river to grab a fish. And that's a special moment.
Well, when you come out here to carp fish, we've got plenty of the raptors flying around, too. We can do that.
Right.
If you look at some of the fishing places in Nebraska, up in our Pine Ridge country, there's a state park, and it has what is known as Soldier Creek in it. And they have rainbow trout and brook trout, and I was up there fishing, and it was a very cold early spring, and we'd been fishing for hours and not doing anything. And an osprey came by and made a couple attempts and flew off, and I packed up my stuff and headed back to the vehicle. My buddies went, "What are you doing?" I said, "If he can't catch fish, we're not going to catch any fish today."
Yeah.
Andrew, I appreciate you being on the show. I love looking at the book. I know I've got two grandsons now that are going to get to see this, and thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's really been a pleasure.
And definitely, if you're in this part of the country, keep my name and number handy. We'll get you out here and do some fly fishing.
That sounds great. Thank you.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.